The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
100 years ago, a terrible storm on Lake Michigan was responsible for the sinking of the Rouse Simmons, otherwise known as the Christmas Tree Ship. The ship, loaded with Christmas trees and headed south to Chicago, went down off the shores of Two Rivers, Wisconsin. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to discuss how students at UWM have tried to capture the emotion and the impact of the sinking of the ship, and how a new unit on campus is supporting their work. Joining us in the studio is Leanne Garrison, Associate Professor of Art and Design and the Executive Director of the new Design Research Institute at UWM. Also with us, Corbett Toomson, who's a graduate student and a teaching assistant with many design or illustration students under his guidance. Welcome to both of you. Glad you could be on today's show.
Well, thank you for having us.
And happy holidays. And it is sort of ironic that as we celebrate these holidays or observe them, we also observe a tragedy, sadly, that was connected with the holiday 100 years ago.
That's true. It was. And we have this connection because Paula Kiley, who's the director of the Milwaukee Public Library, used to be a neighbor of mine. And so I had my studio at home. She knew I was an artist. And so she called me last summer and just said, I'd like to invite you for coffee. And I thought, well, that's nice. I hadn't seen her for a long time. We moved and we got together in a coffee shop and she brought along Peter Herthy, who is the president of the Wisconsin Marine Historical Society. And they talked about this 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Rouse Simmons ship, the Christmas tree ship. And they just thought, well, is there something that students could do to help us celebrate? And so we talked a little bit. They got me all excited about the whole idea of it because their enthusiasm was really bubbling over. And Paula talked about the library having the collection from the Great Lakes Historical Collection in the Central Library. And I guess Peter Herthy has been really instrumental in that collection as well as the Marine Historical Society his parents founded. So he's been very involved in that. And so I just thought, well, this is perfect. I'm just starting my new position as the director of the Design Research Institute, which is about undergrad research as well as teaching and research on campus, interdisciplinary research. And so I just sent the call out for design students and got four seniors in our visual communications, our design and visual communications program. And they were very excited about this. They met with Paula and with Peter, and my portion of the class took over. And then I would also know Corbett Toomson because he'd been one of my students in the graduate program, and he was teaching an illustration class. And so I thought, oh, this is perfect for the posters. And I sort of called him in to see if I could coerce him into adding this project, and he enthusiastically stepped in. So I'll let Corbett talk about that.
And the whole goal here was to indeed create pieces of art, something that would help communicate this story, which really was quite tragic because of the notoriety of the ship, the fact that this was a celebrated event each year in the city of Chicago,
right,
with the ship making its way down from the Upper Peninsula, and that one year, 100 years ago, it didn't make it.
Right. That was the goal, was to how to tell the story of the Rouse Simmons and the sinking of the ship, as part of the theme of Wisconsin marine history. You know, this is one instance. And a lot of times something like that, an instance of it, can be used to help talk about bigger issues. And so the challenge for the students was to create a poster that would do that.
And of course, the real challenge here for the students is, obviously, they weren't around. Their parents and grandparents probably weren't around. So they had to do a fair amount of research on their own in order to figure out how to tell this story.
It's true. And the research was very engaging to the students. And I think one of the things we try to do at UWM more now than ever before with our student undergraduate research fellowships and other things is to get the students understanding primary research, that you go out and really find the source of information as opposed to reading about it online or other ways of finding out information. And so we got to go on the Dennis Sullivan. Peter Herthy set up with the Discovery World a chance for us to take a trip on the Dennis Sullivan schooner. And it was one of the models. There were three ships that were sort of the model for the Dennis Sullivan, but Ralph Simmons was one of those. And I think that it also brought in the whole history of commerce on the Great Lakes. And the schooners had been the real transportation mode for any kind of commerce on the Great Lakes. But the Industrial Revolution, of course, brought in the steam engines. And so the schooners, by the time the Ralph Simmons was there, they were declining in that area. So that was one of the reasons that they were out so late in the season with the Christmas trees, was trying to get one more run in before the bad weather put a stop to commerce on the lake.
And I suspect the students probably didn't know any of that history when you corralled them into working on this project, did they?
None of that.
Right. That's one of the great things, at least, you know, one of the reasons I went into illustration is because you continually get to learn. And that's one of the things that I think made this particular project in my class so valuable to their learning. It's an opportunity for the importance of research, to learn about what it is we're communicating about, to be reinforced. I had Peter Herthy, in addition to my students and all of our students going out on the ship and experiencing that firsthand, I had Peter Herthy come in, and he gave a very thorough PowerPoint presentation to discuss not only the Ralph Simmons specifically, but marine history. And it really, I think, enlighten the students to how much there is that they can gravitate toward within this project.
And yet base their illustrations on the real thing, not just a figment of their imagination, but
exactly.
Really looking back at, and there are a lot of records, as I understand it, about that period of time on the Great Lakes.
That's true. And my students also got a trip to the Central Library to actually go back in the stacks and look at the collection from the Marine, the Great Lakes collection there. And Peter Herthy showed up. He really is one of the most enthusiastic people about schooners. And one of his goals is just not to let the people in Wisconsin or around the Great Lakes forget about them, because it's easy to let that just be past history. So he gave them a talk there, and they got the librarians were excellent. They brought out all sorts of information. And so my students, both on the Dennis Sullivan trip and also at the Central Library, got out their cameras, and they were free to take pictures, and they were just soaking up all the information about this and then coming back, taking all of that, and it made them enthusiastic about the project. So they really just jumped right into it. But I think in terms of even education of students in design, our design and visual communications curriculum stresses research from day one. And they stress writing, they stress reading, they stress primary research. So my students were seniors, and Corbett had kind of a range of students. But they just jumped right in because they knew how to do this, and then it was so engaging on top of that. So it was really a great opportunity for them to have real-world experience at the very end of their careers at UWM.
And let's talk about the end result, because they actually produced art, a illustration that attempted to capture that moment. Corbett, what did they come up with? This is radio, so you're going to have to be descriptive. This is the one time on radio where you wish you could hold up the picture or the drawing, but we're
right.
Going to rely on some word descriptions here.
Okay. One word to describe it would be diversity in how they resolve this, because I encourage them to conduct their research and find something that excited them about this story. Of course, it had to be relevant to some details or something specific within the event. But the goal was to let the students illustrate this, to communicate it in a way that they saw appropriate. One student was really influenced by his voyage out on the Dennis Sullivan and how cold it was. And this was in September, when the actual sinking of the Ralph Simmons was in November. That made a real impact on him. So his particular poster exaggerated how much snow and ice was built up on the ship and her masts, and just kind of crashing into this ice crusted wave. So that was one student's solution, and another student wanted to emphasize the Christmas component to the ship. There were a couple of students that went that route, and another student wanted to address the kind of the emotive quality of seeing the ship kind of take off from shore, and really used atmospheric characteristics to do that as well. So they all, I think, came up with something very different, which is always a good thing.
And it shows that there are so many different ways of looking at an event that that is historic, that has been recalled, the tale recalled many, many times. I do have the benefit, of course, in the studio of looking at some of the illustrations as we're talking about it. And Corbett, you did a really good job, I think, of capturing the variety. One of the nice things for our listeners is if you're interested in seeing these posters, they are on display, correct?
They are on display at the public library downtown, the Central Library on Wisconsin Avenue on the second floor, and it's a beautiful display. Paula Kiley was a graduate of UWM with a degree in art, and then she went on to get her library science degree and work through the library system. But she had a real eye for the whole exhibition, and I think she got very involved in this, including the critique process, which is what we do in an art class when we look at all the potential ideas and we look at the strengths, we look at the weaknesses, and it's not criticism in the sense of being critical of the work. It's a critique where we try to make all the work better. And I think one of the great things about teaching art is you can have 12 great ideas. You don't have to have one good solution to any problem. And so where Corbett's students did the posters, they're online, and they can also go to UWM, and they're in the UWM report online, see the story there, but also at the library through the beginning of January. So I hope that the listeners will go to the library and see them, because it is a beautiful display. My students did a mark for the Marine Historical Society to commemorate this, and that's a logo design that they can use on posters. They can use it on stationery. They can use it for advertising. It can be used for many different purposes. And my students did an invitation to the very lovely reception we had at the library. And they also used it for the poster for that, and for the Christmas card, the holiday card that the library is sending out this year to commemorate the Rouse Simmons, the sinking of that Christmas tree ship.
So, Corbett, let me ask you one question in terms of technique. You had these students, again, looking at something from 100 years back. What tools do they use for illustration? They're all walking around with smartphones and iPads and the like. Did they do this electronically, or did they do it using charcoal or some other tool of the art trade?
That's a great question. The class is illustration with an emphasis toward using traditional media. So in general, that's non-digital media, charcoal, acrylic paint or oil paint, ink. So the poster had to incorporate something that was made by hand. And that was part of the entire course. And they used an array of media. And they also...
Do you find it's harder for them today than perhaps students 10 years ago, 20 years ago, before all of the technical assists that we've got? Is it harder for students to go back and use the primary tools of illustration?
I think that's another really good question. I think that the art programs, art schools, and at UWM, there is an emphasis on still using traditional media, particularly in the first year program, until students declare a major and decide what route they want to go or what media they want to use or what type of art that they're interested in. I think, you know, it is changing, where digital and technological means of expressing yourself, of creating art, are so much more advanced and so much more prevalent at a young age now, where there's a generation of young people that are very literate and using that vocabulary, and that might, you know, slowly start to show that it is the trend, but I don't think we'll ever be short of people that have an appreciation for using paint and pencil.
Boy, I hope not. I hope not, because it in my mind, and I'm not an artist by any means. Trust me, my wife would tell you that. But there is something marvelous about taking a simple tool like a pencil or a piece of charcoal and being able to take your idea and express it with that physicality, with the motion. It's just amazing, and I'm probably be shot by some folks who
no,
are on the other
so.
Side of this, who might say, but you know, a computer is the way of the future, and you know, you should embrace those tools.
No,
but
it's
I don't know,
just
it seems kind of like cheating to me.
No, it's not cheating, but it is just a tool, and I'd say our program and most programs in an art school are really dedicated to teaching that hand-drawn idea first, because even in the senior class that I worked with, they didn't start with a computer. They started bringing in drawings, and we went from the drawings to the computer to finalize the idea. But our program teaches from the very beginning that the initial ideas, the start of it, need to come from drawing, from working with your hand, and because it's a direct relationship to what your brain is thinking. It's a way of expressing that, and then you can take that idea on into the computer, which is fascinating.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. And by the way, happy holidays to you, a new year right around the corner. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio is Leanne Garrison, who's Associate Professor of Art and Design at the Peck School of the Arts on the UWM campus. She's also head of the Design Research Institute. And also in the studio, Corbett Toomson, who's a graduate student and actually one of the folks who helps guide young artists through those first classes as they begin to think about their own careers. We've been talking so far about the wonderful, marvelous project that the Peck School did in partnership with the Milwaukee Public Library, commemorating the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Christmas tree ship. Of a great, great story that goes back, sadly, a part of our maritime history, sadly, because there were so many hundreds of wrecks that occurred on the Great Lakes, many of them right along our shore or up along the Door County Peninsula over the last couple of centuries. And your class, Corbett, did a great job of trying to capture what that moment must have been like. We've been talking about the way in which students can use their skills and a little bit of the old, looking at the more traditional methods. And I want to take a few minutes now to talk about the Design Research Institute itself, Leanne, which is relatively new on the UWM landscape.
It is brand new. It took us about 3 years to get an institute through the process of the proposal on into an actual institute that was approved at all levels. And so this fall was really the beginning of our Design Research Institute. But it started, frankly, it started when I was talking to a former art student one summer, and I just ran into her and I said, "Oh, are you still making art?" And she must have been maybe 40-ish, 35, 40. She said, "You know, I did, but I'm married now. I have a baby. I need to get a job. And so I'm back in school for social work." And I thought, well, that's great. You'll make a great social worker. But I also just thought about the kind of jobs that our students could get, because the world is so visual now. It's a visual culture, and it's kind of art and design's time now, and music and video, film. I mean, it's that time now, theater. And so I began to think about doing interdisciplinary research on campus earlier on, so that the students could meet other students, faculty could get together. The future of higher ed really is all about interdisciplinary work, just the way the world works. And so we started this Design Research Institute, and it's meant to foster interdisciplinary research on campus, and it's meant to foster students meeting other students and seeing themselves as working with other students early on. So we have maybe a third of our students are in the design program. So we have about 1,000 undergrads, and that's a lot of designers to go out and need a job with a company. And part of the goal is to keep people here in Milwaukee. And I think we're in a unique moment in Milwaukee's time where we have the institutions of higher ed across the city. We have the Greater Milwaukee Committee. The Chancellor, Mike Lovell, is excellent in promoting this. It's just one of those times that we all need to seize that moment, and I think the Design Research Institute can have a part of that. I want the students to stay here. I want them to think about entrepreneurship and think about how, as designers, they could work with engineers and business people and get together early on. And so an experience in a class or an experience on a project or working in the community, internships, there are all sorts of ways to get students to do that. And design methodology is a creative thinking process that's at the heart of all true research.
So you said about a third of the students are from the Peck School in design program. Where do the other students come from? Are they indeed engineers or maybe even social
workers?
Well,
I was saying there are 1,000 undergraduate art and design majors, and a third of those are design opposed to painting, sculpture, photography, printmaking, the other areas. There are 2,000 students in the Peck School of the Arts, and so we have music, dance, theater.
Right. Yeah. But in terms of the Research Institute, where do you draw students from?
Well, initially, one of my big supporters was Mike Lovell when he was dean of the School of Engineering instead of being chancellor the way he is now. And so I read a story when he first came that actually I believe you wrote about him coming and being from the University of Pittsburgh where they didn't have an art department, and so he partnered with Carnegie Mellon art students to get the engineering and the arts and design students together to work on projects. And so I made an appointment with him about his first month here, and I brought one of our brand new design faculty members along with me, and we've been working with engineering ever since. He was teaching a product realization class, and we brought in a design art and design faculty member, Nathaniel Stern, to co-teach with him, students from both programs, and that's been ongoing and growing. Kind of moved into the startup challenge that's there now. We've co-taught with architecture students. We're working now with the School of Information Studies on a design certificate, potentially a graduate program, and this all comes out of the Design Research Institute's idea of building that interdisciplinary research and teaching on campus.
You know, if I'm a student in journalism, which I was just a few years ago, and I heard of the Design Research Institute, the one thing that might scare me is the word design, because I cannot draw for the life of it. And it's not there. Maybe that's why I appreciate your work so much, Corbett, because you can do this stuff. I just can't. But the word design suggests that I have to have an artistic bent to it. Do I, or are there other people who could, you know, help support that side of the brain that's not working so well for me?
That's the whole point of the interdisciplinary work, is that you could bring your journalism skills, and our students could bring the web page design skills, or other students could bring the video that's embedded in the web page now. And so you bring your skills to the table, and others bring theirs. We're hosting monthly meetups of students on campus and also within the area. We've had Marquette interest. We're working with Marquette in terms of faculty and students, Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, co-teaching a class there for the last two semesters. And we've got business students involved. So our last meetup, I think, had primarily graduate students from engineering and business there just to hear the conversation that we had a guest speaker who was there. So I'm hoping through that, our new webpage is just up yesterday, so I'm hoping that'll be another place for students to see the possibilities and not be afraid, because you can come for the pizza, but you can stay for the information and then get to know other students.
Why is design so important?
Design methodology teaches the creative thinking process, and it's a process of identifying a problem and thinking about all the potential solutions to that problem. Some of them may be really far out there, and not just the linear thinking of okay, here's the problem, we know this works, and we're going to continue to do this. It's looking at those different solutions through research, finding the best one to try it, see if it works, learn from it, and go back and start over again until you have that true process. And that's where that critique process is very good for everyone to learn. So it's not a matter of a yes or no, right or wrong answer. It's a matter of how many right answers can we elicit from this group of students.
When Steve Jobs passed away this past year, there were a lot of people who who said perhaps one of his most important contributions was his attention, insistence, not just attention, but insistence on good design in the products. Mm-hmm. And he was an engineer. He knew how to do the programming and understood metals and the like, but they said that his fanaticism when it came to insisting that there be good design is really what made the iPhone and the iPad and the Macs as good as they are. Do you guys agree with that, Corbett?
Yeah, I do definitely agree with that, and I think that the contribution that design can make to our society, to culture, is continually growing.
Mm-hmm. And Mies van der Rohe once said that God is in the details, and Mies van der Rohe, of course, came from the Bauhaus in Germany, the famous art school, came to the United States and started the Illinois Institute of Technology, or one of the designers working there. But God is in the details, and I think that's what Steve Jobs felt too. And actually, the Design Research Institute, one of the places I was looking to for inspiration was the Stanford Design School, Stanford D School, which is an interdisciplinary teaching and research at Stanford University. And then I read Steve Jobs' biography, and it points out so clearly that it was a very courageous dean at Stanford, along with the industry that was there, which is the aeronautical industry, and then the children of those people staying there and creating Silicon Valley. And I thought, well, why can't we be that to that sort of design and creative thinking within the institutions in the area? So I'm calling it the Midwest Creative Corridor, and it goes from Chicago to Milwaukee to Madison to the Twin Cities. And I think we can make this a place of creative research that'll make other companies want to come here, want to stay here, want to be a part of it.
Well, and especially with the manufacturing background or history that we sit on, the tradition of making things is in Milwaukee's DNA, Wisconsin's DNA.
It is.
And by making certain that we're preparing the next generation of products that people will want, if you link design in, your odds are much better, aren't they, that you're going to create something people really want.
Yes, and design from the initial stage is not just a decorative outside of something, but designed from the inside out. And I think that is really where we're going. In fact, our design students just had their junior entrepreneur showcase at the Grand Avenue Mall at the Innovation in Milwaukee site there. And hundreds of people came to look at their design ideas. Corbett also has been working with those design students too. And so I think it's an exciting time to be here, and I really think we can do it.
And Corbett, from your standpoint, students, excited about all of this?
I think absolutely. It's fundamentally to art, but also more specifically to design, it's about problem solving. You solve problems within your work to get an effective result, and I think it's a way for them to also look out, as Leanne was saying, to look at things in our society or in our culture. Not necessarily always as problems, but things that they can maybe contribute to and give back. And well, that's pretty exciting.
Well, and we thank you both for contributing today. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we do want to invite our listeners to check out that great design product, the result of the work that our UWM students did on the Christmas Tree Ship project down at the Milwaukee Public Library for the next at least few weeks before it wraps up. And also encourage folks to consider the Design Research Institute. If you are a student or if you're just looking at finding ways in which you can involve design in your perhaps company's products or services, this might be a good starting point.
It's a great starting point.
Leanne Garrison, Associate Professor of Art and Design and Head of the New Design Research Institute, and Corbett Toomson, a graduate student at the Peck School of the Arts, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week. We will see you next week, and I think it's almost next year with the ending of another year of UWM Today programs. We thank you for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good holiday season. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.